This is an iHeart podcast.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
I guess we're going to have to talk about Italians. Oh, quit. Quit. You know what that means? It's mafia time today. We got a mob story today. It's been too long, and as a dude, I need a mafia fix. And no, I'm not just talking about Nancy Pelosi and Liz Cheney. No, I'm not. I mean, we're going to talk about that too. In case you aren't up to date, before I get into the history segment today, Liz Cheney, third-ranking member GOP in the House, has said she's going to support Nancy Pelosi's impeachment of the president. And I need to clarify, as of this point in time, there is a rumor, but there are lots of rumors, so many we can assume it's probably true. There's a rumor that Mitch McConnell and other Senate GOPers also support impeachment of Donald Trump. I have some very, very, very strong thoughts on this, as you can imagine. No, it's not going to be rabidly pro-Trump, rabidly anti-Trump. My thoughts on it actually have nothing to do with Trump at all. I'll get to those in just a little bit. And, man, somebody wrote us an email that got me, absolutely got me, and it really brought something home to me about Medal of Honor winners, our heroes, the guys who fight for us. It brought it home for me. We will get to that later on, too. We're going to laugh. I have another story for you today I think you'll probably enjoy. But first, I was thinking last night about this Mitch McConnell, Liz Cheney, George Bush, that era of the GOP. I mean, honestly, and before them too. I don't mean to just dump all that on their feet. And then the drastic change from them to the Trump era. And I was thinking about where all this is going, how all this is going to shake out. And it hit me. It really did hit me. This reminds me of Joe Mazzaria. It reminds me of Joe Mazzaria. And if you're sitting there wondering who that is, don't worry. Most people don't know who that is. I'm about to tell you. Let's rewind things to the turn of the 20th century. You know, the year 1900, that's actually not the exact year we're going to, but the year 1900. Let's talk about Italians and Italian immigration into the United States of America. And more specifically, because I'm a dude, we're going to focus on the crime that came with it because it's awesome. Because everybody loves The Godfather. Quit it. Chris, the next time I bring that up, please stop telling me that you haven't seen it yet because it upsets me. I'm trying to do a radio show and I found out you haven't done The Godfather. Now I'm distracted by how stupid you are. You have to watch that movie.
Anyway, all right, never mind. Look, there are Jewish gangsters in it too. I swear. All right, never mind. Anyway, things in Italy prior to 1900. Let's rewind quite a bit here. Italy is a place with a fascinating history, a ton of history, and it is a place because of its shape, you know, that boot-shaped peninsula, and because, more specifically, of its location. It's not just a boot-shaped peninsula. It's a boot-shaped peninsula in the heart of the world. Europe, North Africa, Greece, just all that. You have all these societies and civilizations that have come up and come through there. And therefore, I mean, before Rome, and then Rome, and then after Rome. I mean, after Rome, remember all that Holy Roman Empire stuff, the Pope here, the Italian Wars. This is an area that was constantly invaded and taken over, and invaded and taken over, and invaded and taken over, time and time and time again. And you and I can't relate to that. We've never been invaded and taken over, never once. It'll happen at some point. It's just the fate of nations, but never once have we experienced that. That's what that country had experienced, even though it wasn't necessarily a country the whole time. That's what they've experienced for a long, long time. And what that creates in people is a severe, severe case of tribalism. I am not one of these people who whines about tribalism. You see this all over politics today. I'm sure you've probably seen it, probably on social media. This tribalism has to stop. We have to stop being so tribal. Well, tribalism is human nature. It is human nature to seek out other people who share your values and choose to live with those other people. One, for the safety and protection that comes from living together. And two, because you, as a God-made human being, have a desire, an innate desire, to be around others. You do, I don't, but you do. That's why tribes have always existed. That's why tribes, if they get big and powerful enough, become nations. Anyway, we're not getting into that right now, but Italy, extremely tribal. Hundreds of years, extremely tribal. Very, very, very regional. And this is harder. We understand a little bit of this in America. You know, and I'll tell you this, as somebody not a native Texan, I spent virtually my entire life, because I've lived everywhere, making fun of the guys I knew who were from Texas in the Marine Corps. You know, you always have a bunch of dudes from Texas. It's that kind of state. It's that kind of patriotic state. And all they did was talk about Texas this and Texas that and how great Texas is. And we're all, shut up. It can't be that good. And then I came out and visited like twice. And I'm like, oh, I'm moving here. This place is great. But we know a very little bit of that regional tribalism here in America. Not a ton. There's some animosity, north, south, east, west, but nothing bad. Nothing like Italy was at this time. And like Italy kind of still is, from what I understand. What I'm saying is, it's not a friendly wink, wink, nudge, nudge, little jab at your buddy when the northern Italians are ripping on the Sicilians. It's not friendly at all. It's the I'll murder you kind of rivalry. It's that kind of clannish, regional. And then within the regions, there are severe rivalries. And rivalries that go back, I mean, Hatfields and McCoys is nothing. Rivalries that go back 100 years. 200 years. Your uncle killed my third cousin, killed this, and now I'm going to kill your third cousin and your dog. And it's that kind of place. Very regional, very tribal. And so there's this mistake we make when we talk about the Italian migration, the Italian immigration into the United States of America when tons of Italians were coming. And remember, we've had these, you know, waves of immigrants coming in, you know, or Irish and Jews and mainly Eastern European Jews who were trying to escape the pogroms over there and Irish and everything else. And we talk about Italian immigration, and because it's simple, we just call it Italian immigration. It was not that way, especially not in the beginning. Yeah, we're both Italian, but I will murder you if I ever see you again because you're from the wrong part of Italy, that, and I'm from a better part, and the northern guys really thought the Sicilians were a bunch of country criminal bumpkins, and the Sicilians hated these guys in this region. It was that way, so they would really region up. And when they first started getting here, the criminal element portion of that Italian immigration wave, the criminal element portion got here and promptly began to separate themselves into their groups from where they came. Make sense? And in the beginning, it was very disorganized for a while. But things don't stay disorganized. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Mitch McConnell impeaching the president and more. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
This is actually personal for me when I talk about Superbeats, because here's the truth. I don't talk about it a lot on the show. I don't like to dwell on it, but I lost a grandfather to heart disease. It's one of the things on the male side of my family. It runs in the family. High blood pressure runs in the family. And when I found out there's something natural I can take that can help my heart, help my blood pressure, I dove on it. Superbeats is personal to me. I love it. I love a natural solution that helps my heart health. That is an easy, easy way for you to make your life better, for you to be better, maybe live a little bit longer, huh? Go. Superbeats.com/Jesse. When you go, you get two different free 30-day supplies of Superbeats Hearts Chews. Superbeats.com/Jesse. Well, they're probably going to impeach the president again. I'm stunned at the stupidity, at the out-of-touchness, and we will get to all that. You can find me, by the way, on social media, at least for now, at Jesse Kelly DC on Twitter and Instagram. I'm also on Parler, if that ever pops back up again, and I'm on Facebook for now. You're welcome to call the show today, 877-377-4373, or email jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Couple of your emails actually hit me last night. Remember, I'm not going to respond. I get way too many. I'm sorry. All of them go right to Chris. He reads them, prints them, and gives me every one, and I read every single one. You can ask him if you ever talk to him one day. He hands me a stack of them every day. I read every one of your emails. You take the time to write it, I will read it. And I will do that as long as humanly possible. I'm having to build more time into the day for that now. But it's okay. I don't mind. I don't mind. Back to the Italian gangs and Italian crime and how it started. In the beginning, it was much more disorganized in this country. You talk about Italian crime or organized crime, and immediately you start picturing Al Capone in fancy suits and things like that. In the beginning, it was really just two different things. It was small street gangs, and it was something called the Black Hand. The Black Hand you will hear about a lot. There are a couple misconceptions about it, but this is what the Black Hand was. It kind of went away really about the end of our story, which I'll get to in a minute, but the Black Hand was simply this. Terrorism, really. Murder and extortion. That's what it was. It was not necessarily whole gangs. Sometimes it'd be two or three dudes. So it wasn't, I don't want you to think of a Black Hand gang like a gigantic mafia group, but let's say me and Jewish producer Chris and another guy decided we were going to start doing some Black Hand stuff. What we would do is we would find you. You know, maybe you're a shop owner. I mean, you don't have to be super wealthy. They would try for super wealthy, but anybody with some kind of means at all, and they would do something like write you a letter. And it was a very, you know, to-the-point letter. And maybe it would have a knife on it with blood dripping off it. They would draw that stuff on there, or a gun. And it would simply be, hey, if you don't want your wife killed, you will bring $10,000 to this corner at this date and time. And they would take black ink and put it all over their hand or somebody's hand. I guess this is pre-fingerprinting. And they would slap that on the letter. And that's why the media got a hold of that, and they called these guys black handers. So that was really the only, black hand guys. That was really the only organization beyond the small gangs. But like anything else, any other situation, whether it be your company you work for or run, a political party, crime, disorganization invites organization. It's inevitable. Inevitably, there will be a man or several men who will step up and say, oh, we got to get this together here. I can get this together here. And that begins to happen. And New York begins to divide itself among five families. I know you've heard of the five families before because you listen to this show, but let me clarify something. The five families that got famous are not the five that started out one, and two, they didn't just randomly pick the number five. And it wasn't just because there were five top bosses they thought could run things. It was because there were five different boroughs, and each group, each crime group, was to kind of get one of them in the beginning. But it was a disorganized mess. They were constantly murdering each other. And into this arena steps a man by the name of Joe. His name was actually Giuseppe, but he changed his name to Joe Mazzaria. Where'd he come from? He came from Italy, and he was 17 years old and had already murdered a man. Now, a lot of Italians were coming to America from Italy who had been convicted of bad crimes, because back then there was a non-extradition. There was no, you couldn't extradite somebody back to Italy. If you committed a crime over there and they got to America, Italy could not come knock on America's door and say, we'd like him back. America would be all, no. No, you can't have it. Joe Mazzaria gets to America. He's a stocky dude, a little fat, but stocky. Apparently can move really, really fast, and that's going to come into play here in just a minute, and has a knack and a desire for violence. We don't know very much about his background. We know his father was a tailor, and that's all we know. I mean, could have been abusive, could have run out on him. He might not even have a mother. I don't know. That's all we know. He steps into the street gang life, steps into the forming of these groups becoming more organized, and he looks around and sees there's an opportunity here. And let's be clear, he's getting involved in black hand stuff. He's getting arrested a lot. He steps over here, and he's immediately beginning to murder people. He's getting out of a lot of these crimes because New York was and is horribly corrupt. Horribly corrupt. But, I mean, we're talking 4 years in Sing Sing. This is the life this guy's chosen. And then there's a humongous war amongst these families because Joe Mazzaria and some others, they look around and decide we should be running things. We should be running things. He keeps on killing and keeps on killing and keeps on killing. And they're trying, the other Italians, many of them are trying to fight off what they view as being inevitable, and that's him rising to power with him and just a couple other guys. And so they try things like, well, there's a man, Umberto Valenti. Don't worry about remembering the name. It doesn't matter. He was a famous hitman at the time, a famous, famous Italian gangster hitman. He waits with a friend outside of Joe Mazzaria's apartment. Joe Mazzaria finally comes out, dressed to the nines, with one of those fancy straw hats on his head. Joe Mazzaria does not see Umberto and the other hitman sitting in a restaurant waiting for him across the street. Mazzaria steps out of his apartment, gives a little look around, starts strolling the other way up the sidewalk, and the two hitmen, straight out of the movies, get up from their table, drop a little money on it to pay for their meal, and fall in line a little ways up the sidewalk behind Joe Mazzaria. They're armed to the teeth. They're going to take care of this problem, of this ambitious, violent man who's trying to take everything over. Mazzaria, though, Mazzaria was famous for having what they called a lizard brain, instincts that keep a man alive. And somehow, some way, at the last moment when the hitmen were coming up on him, he figured out they were right behind him. He turns, and two hitmen at point blank range unload 20 shots at Joe Mazzaria, who reportedly, this is what they say, dodged every one. For a big dude, the dude kept moving side to side every time they'd hit the trigger. 20 rounds, point blank range, did not make contact with his body one time. Finally, the guys freak out, run and try to get away. The neighborhood is now trying to stop the hitmen. They start shooting into the crowd and wound like 8 people and kill 2 on the way out. So that's how Joe Mazzaria's rise is going. We're going to talk about the finish of his rise and then his fall. And then we're going to talk impeachment. Hang on. Doctors trusted CBD.com. While I'm talking, go and browse around at the variety of products available. People get confused when you start bringing up CBD. They think it's only the full spectrum CBD oil. And they have that there too. Don't get me wrong. That's what I take. But it's so much more. You have lip balms and muscle creams, and it comes in pill form. You have various options. If you're looking for natural solutions to things like anxiety, and believe me, I see my emails. I know you're looking for anxiety solutions. Try CBD. I choose CBD. I trust natural solutions more than I trust the other kind. And I love that Doctors Trusted CBD, they've localized everything I love on one website. DoctorsTrustedCBD.com, and I'll save you some money. While you're there, use the promo code Jesse. That gets you 5% off, and it gets you a free lip balm. Somebody thinks Trump supporters need to be cleansed? What have I been telling you? What have I been telling you about America's commies? One, don't let anybody tell you, because they love doing this to you. What communists? There aren't communists. They're exactly the same as all the communists have always been. They don't want you to call them that. They're always the same. Always. You either must change how you think in order to serve their God, or, like many religions, you gotta go. It's an look, religion is an exclusive thing. You must understand that. That's what leftism is. That's what communism is. It is a religion of domination. And I don't get uncomfortable talking about these things. I understand it makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but that's life. Religion's exclusive. How many religions out there? Believe what I believe, or you're going to hell. That's mine. I'm not pointing fingers at someone else. Believe what I believe, or you're going to burn in hell. That's as exclusive as it gets, right? And religions have acted on that in ugly ways throughout history. All of them have. Jews, Muslims, Christians, and many more. All of them have. You know what? Let me help you out. I'm going to send you to hell. A lot of them have. That's how religions often operate, and communism is no different. Convert or die. That's how they think. All right, don't get me sidetracked. I have to finish my Joe Mazzaria story, but that's how they think. We'll get to that in a few. Joe Mazzaria does rise to the top of the New York underworld. How does he finish things off? Well, remember it was Umberto Valenti who tried to kill him earlier? Joe sets up a hit on Umberto Valenti. Valenti almost gets away. But Umberto Valenti, in an effort to get away, is running from the hitmen who are after him and hops on the running boards of a taxi trying to escape, straight out of the movies, driving down the street, standing on the running boards, and some crack shot steps up and shoots him twice on the move in the chest and kills him. What was the name of that crack shot? Maybe you've heard of him. Charles Lucky Luciano. You see, he was just a young gangster at this point in time, but he was working for Joe Mazzaria. And now we're going to come to the point of our story and to the end of our story. Joe Mazzaria, and I'm skipping over all kinds of things in the interest of time. Joe Mazzaria rose to the top of the New York underworld, became the boss of all bosses. He was also known as Joe the Glutton. We'll get to that in a moment. He would just sit down and eat plate after plate after plate of pasta as an appetizer. Just really, you can look at pictures of him, just real puffy cheeks. They even called him, tell me it wasn't a different era then, talk about politically incorrect. They called him Joe the Chinese because apparently his cheeks got so big you couldn't see his eyes. Like, I mean, just they were just terrible, terrible to each other. But nobody would say these terrible things to his face, right? So Joe, he rises to the top. But Joe has this thing. And maybe you can say it's not his fault because of where he came from. But Joe has a lot of prejudice. Now, when I say he has a lot of prejudice, I'm not doing this obnoxious 2021 American thing today. He was probably a racist, 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 racist. Remember, everybody has some prejudice. Every single person has some. Everyone does. And I realize that's today's scarlet letter, but everyone has some. Just everyone lies about it now because it's today's scarlet letter. What I'm talking about Joe's prejudice was Joe hated most other Italians and Joe hated Jews. And in Joe's defense, his people from his clan had always hated other Italians and Jews. That was how he grew up. Remember we talked about the tribalism of Italy in the beginning? And part of that was brought with him to New York, so he organizes all the gangs. He's getting crime organized. And the younger generation, the next generation who didn't grow up in Italy like all the other Italians before him, these guys had grown up mainly in America. Guys like Lucky Luciano, he's constantly approaching Joe Mazzaria and saying, these Jews, Meyer Lansky and these guys, they're really, really smart, and we should be working with them. We should be making a lot of money with these guys. They share a lot of our values. Why are we not working with them? But you see, Joe Mazzaria represented hundreds of years of built-in prejudice. That was just the way it had always been. No, we're from this area of Italy. We don't mix with these other Italians. We definitely don't mix with Jews, right? That way of thinking. But there was something underneath that Joe Mazzaria couldn't see because it wasn't just Charles Lucky Luciano. The entire generation of Americans, American-Italian gangsters, not each and every individual, but for the most part, they grew up and they had begun to learn to work with the other ethnicities. They'd started to work with some Jews here and some Irish there. And they didn't carry those same prejudices that their fathers did and their fathers did before them. Joe Mazzaria didn't see. He couldn't see. He was too blinded by the past to see that things had shifted underneath him, that the entire game had changed. He didn't want to work with the Jews. So what did he get? Well, remember, Charles Lucky Luciano was an ambitious, very talented up-and-comer in Joe's organization. They go have a sit-down lunch one day, Joe and Lucky. Joe is doing his customary eating, a lot of it. They say, tell me how cool this is, how cool things used to be, although I suppose you could still do this some places. He walks into this, you know, restaurant, tells the owner what he'd like, some kind of fish, and the owner left the restaurant to go buy it and then bring it back and prepare it for him. How cool is that? They sit, talk for a while. They play some cards. Eventually, Lucky Luciano checks his watch, excuses himself politely to get up and go use the restroom. At which point in time, Bugsy Siegel, Vito Genovese, Albert Anastasia, you ever heard these names? Well, they were all young up-and-comers at this time, burst into the restaurant and fill Joe Mazzaria full of holes. If you'd like to see it, it's obviously in black and white. You can go just Google image search Joe Mazzaria and you'll get to see it. You'll even see him laying there on the ground with an ace, with a playing card that's, I believe, an ace of spades, if I remember right, sitting in his hands dead. This is the way it's always been. How often do you hear things like that? How often have you maybe even said things like that? Look, I'm guilty of it. This is the way they've always been. This is the way these people have always been. This is the way this economy's always been. This is the way this political party's always been. This is the way it works. This is how things get done. We're constantly told that time and time and time and time again in life. But here's the thing about this is the way it's always been. There's always been an expiration date on that. Always. There's an expiration date coming for the GOP, and it's coming really fast. I'm going to explain why in a second.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now, there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? Usually my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
This is an iHeart podcast.